Okay, we're going to begin now on the Pei Beis Amud Aleph at the Mishnah, Halacha Dalet. So it says, Habrasim habardosim hadal metinyo tikyon v'min alos hapinon, which are not translated. These are just, know that these are different types of wool. We'll say that they're high quality wool, okay? And these pinon shoes are manufactured by non-Jews. That's the other thing it says over here. You should not put them on until you check for shatness. You got to bring them into, what was it? There was a guy that used to live in Williamsburg, I think it was. He used to take it over to his apartment. And he had a little lab over there, and he'd check out your shatness. I went there several times. So it says, the Tanakhama teaches that all these woolen items must be checked for possible linen content before they are worn. Now, there's a debate in the Rishonim like this. What's the issue over here? What are we worried about? Linen may have been mixed by the non-Jewish manufacturer with the woolen fabric. That's one position. The Rambam states that we're concerned linen threads may have been used to sew the woolen panels together. So it's not that the woolen fabric would have linen actually mixed in with the actual threading. The Rambam has it a little differently. Say, the other Rishonim indicate that they agree with the Rambam's concern as well. Okay, so whatever that is, I don't know what's that dependent on. Regardless, it's an argument exactly what this precise worry is. Is it that they mixed the threading together, or that they sewed pieces together with linen thread? Either way, it's the same thing, same problem. Now, he also adds here this is a very important point here. These items you have to check even if you're in a location where linen is not readily available, because these woolen items that are mentioned, it's too bad we don't know what they are, but they apparently had linen very often. That's number one. Number two, it says that these particular items were of superior quality. So we're concerned that you used higher quality linen thread to sew the wooden panels together. So obviously these are going to be depending on whether you hold like the Rambam's shot or not. Anyway, so therefore you have to be careful to check them. Now, Rabbi Yossi says the following. Rabbi Yossi is chaylik on the Tanakhama. Let's see in the Gemara a little bit more about how he's chaylik on them. But he says, Habar Michaif Hayam, Medinas Hayam. He gets rid of the word af because the Gemara is going to say that he actually argues on Tanakhama. If it would say af, it would mean he's adding to what Tanakhama said. It wouldn't be mashmai machlaikas, but it's actually machlaikas. So he holds that you need both. The Gemara is going to ask this ooh, is it or is it and? And we're going to end up saying it means and. That something that comes from the coast and it comes from outside Eretz Yisrael, then in Shechem Dika, then you don't need Bedika. There's a chazaka, they were made with hemp and not linen. So, let's see, it says over here. Yeah, let's keep going. Minol shel zorov. If you have a line boot, you can assume that a woolen lined boot, aimed by Mishum Klein, that there's no client. Now, don't pass him from this Mishnah, because we're going to see the footnotes a little further that it's not necessarily the case. This is in time of the Gemara where linen was was not so available everywhere, but nowadays they're going to say, it's going to be later on, where is it? It's going to be, let's see. I'll wait till the Gemara, but the Gemara's going to, we're going to see in a footnote in the Gemara that if it is Shchiach, the linen, then this would not be a valid assumption. Okay, let's keep going. The Gemara says, Habrasin Baraya, Grayson. So again, that's the looking back at the list. So it says Habrasim. That was the first thing mentioned in the Mishnah. So that what was called Brasim in the time of the Mishnah is now called Braraya. They're identifying what it is so that it'll make sense for their time period. Unfortunately, we're in another time period, so we don't know what either word means. Habardasin, which is the second item in the Mishnah, that's Diloma. Again, no explanation what this is. Hadal Miktikon Kovlin Uma'aforin. They're now called Kovlin Uma'aforin. That says number 16. It says over here that these are types of long woolen underwear. Probably it's types of head wraps. Whatever. And Minalos Pinon Dardison. They're now called Dardison, these Pinon shoes. It says here that this is a sort of footwear made from an inferior grade of wool. Alright, so if it's made out of an inferior grade of wool, wait a second. That doesn't make sense. We said the pshat was that the reason why, that we remember we mentioned alternatively the problem was that these were high quality products and therefore there was a bigger chash that you'd use linen. And now we're saying it's an inferior type of wool. I don't know what's going on over here. Something changed here. This footwear was named Pinon because the root of the word Pinon was used to refer to an inferior grade of wool. It's a little bit counter to why he explained the Gemara, the Mishnah before earlier. Okay, we'll leave that as a ha'ara. Now, Tanakama says all these items require tracking regardless where they came from, whether they came from Eretz Yisrael or Chutz La'aretz, along the sea, not along the sea, it didn't make a difference. Rabbi Yossi argued, Rabbi Yossi Omer, how about Michal Payam, Dinas Hayam? Comes from the coast and from overseas. Where it says, Machayf Hayam, Dinas Hayam? Doesn't mean you have to have from the coast, or, meaning, or, from the Chaf Hayam, Dinas Hayam? In other words, is Rabbi Yossi holding, if it's from the coast of Eretz Yisrael, it's assumed to be linen free? Or does it mean that only those items that come from the coast, that is overseas? It's an and, right? You need both conditions. So the Gemara brings a rhyme in Madatoni, Kigon Tzur v'Chavruseho. The example of this statement, the Braisa is, it's referring to Tira and its suburbs, or Kisun v'Chavruseho, the Caesarea, its suburbs. So you see, he's referring to something which was actually in the Medina Sayyam. Now we're on the second page on Pay base. Ainon Shechem Dika, they don't need to be checked. Hadot the Tamer Barishon. Oh, here's the Gemara says it. This was stated originally in the time of the Mishnah. Shlohai Sahab Pishton Mitsuya B'chom Makom. Linen was not available everywhere. V'lashashav Shushim Mitsuya B'chom Makom. Now we have available linen is available everywhere. Tzichem b'diko, all garments require checking. So in footnote 2, it brings down here a Rush. The Rush says today, when linen is available, again, this is just to make sure this is clear. For those of you who are listening who have the art scroll, it's on 82B1, footnote 2. Based on the Gemara that we just said, where linen is available, the Rush says, if you buy woolen clothing from a non-Jew, he should remove the threads with which it was sewn because they might be linen and replace them with hemp threads. Now, the Rush seems to be contradicted by the Mishnah and the Gemara, where it says it's enough to just check it. Why does he say to remove it? So the Lavush explains that since this is an arduous task to check every thread, apparently a lot of work, so the Rush recommends to simply replace all the threads with hemp. This is what happened to me when I checked my jacket. I bought a jacket on the east side. And I walk across the bridge, the Williamsburg Bridge to Williamsburg, and I walk to the guy who checked Shotness, and he took a look at it, and he said, well, it could be, it has qualities of linen, but it might not be. So he removed it all, he gave it back to me, and said, go have a tailor put back, you know, a replacement material to cause the collar to be stiff. That's where we used to always find the shotness in the collar, because the collar had a woolen outside and a linen piece of cloth that would make the collar stiff. So he would remove that for us, and then we would go have it replaced by he didn't want to bother trying to test every little thread. So he just removed the whole thing. This is kind of like Lavush is saying, it's too much. The Rush is assuming it's too much work to check every thread, so just replace it all. What else does he say? He says, he brings from this Hashatnez LaHalacha, chapter 7, note 1. Nowadays, which is 5768, so add 40, so it's 2008. Right, 68 plus 40 is 08, so it's 2008, I guess. So garments are generally sewn with the same type of thread throughout. So if the threads are examined in one or two places, and they don't have any linen in them, so then the rest of the threads don't have to be tested. You can assume that the same thread was used to sew the whole garment. But if there's a reason to suspect a different thread was used, such as by the buttons, sometimes the buttons are sewn with a stronger thread because there's a lot more pull and wear and tear on those. So in that case, you have to check the button as well. I think if once you check a button that it's not it has no shotness, you could apply the same rule. It probably all the buttons were sewn with the same fabric. So those are important hetterim there to reduce the amount of damage to your garment that a lot of times these shotness guys and their zeal may go a little beyond the letter of the law, and we don't want that. Minol shel zarav. If you have a lined boot, see isasin zarav and amro bin go. There are places where they insulate the shoe by putting the wool inside the shoe. The Mishnah teaches, although it's lined with wool, a lined boot may be worn without checking it for possible linen content. Now, this is evident from the case where Rabbi Zeira told Rabbi Abba Bar Zvina, "Vayomer leBar Rishon, say to Bar Rishon." Who's Bar Rishon? It's a funny name, right? It's the name of his shoemaker. His shoemaker name was Bar Rishon. Okay. Now he's Reb Zeira is telling Reb Abba to tell his shoemaker, whose name was Bar Rishon, He should not sew his shoe with linen. I should use a leather strap. Obviously, the inside of that shoe had a woolen lining. So he was telling him not to sew it with linen because then he would have a problem with shanus. Now, Moedur Abze'era, he'll agree, but Ahonda Asar Piske da Amra of the Vist, of the Chiton, if you tied a belt of wool on a linen garment, to Shari, that's mutter. Tying a belt is mutter. So you have a linen jacket, and you want to tie a wool belt on top of a linen jacket. Let's suppose you have a gartel. You're wearing a linen jacket for davening, and you have a gartel that's made out of wool, for instance. I don't know if that's true, but let's suppose it would be true. You'd be allowed to do that. To who shenetz garme? This is so because it is only the straps of the belt that cause it to be attached to the garment underneath. The hinochasallah. And he can lower the belt without undoing the straps. It is therefore not considered to be combined together with the linen garment. This is a pshat in the Gemara from the Mara Fuldo, apparently. So, he says in footnote 7, the point is, since the woolen belt is worn by merely tying the ends together, it can be moved down off the jacket, and it's not considered as if it were sewn to the jacket, in which case it would not be able to move up or down, right? So it's different than Reb Ze'era, he was against sewing the wool-lined shoe with a linen thread, because if the thread is going to go through it, the wool and linen are connected, obviously. Now, it emerges from the Gemara below, see note 11, that when two garments are worn on one on top of the other, they are considered connected if the bottom one cannot be removed without removing the top one. If it can be removed even without removing the top one, they're not considered connected. Marsham 3292 understands the Gemara here to be dealing with a case in which the jacket cannot be removed without the belt being removed first. Still, since the belt can be moved up and down without undoing the knot, the belt and the jacket are not considered connected. Okay, so I have to really wait until the Gemara later, but so there seems to be two criteria here. Can you remove it without removing the other garment? And number two, can the belt move up and down? Let's see here. That was the Marsham. The Chalkas Yankov of Yerodeah 2, 171. He disagrees. He explains, although the jacket can be removed without removing the belt, the jacket and belt may be considered connected since the belt is tied with what is considered a permanent knot. So the Gemara says that since the belt can be removed up and down, the jacket and belt are in no way connected. So that might be interesting, machlokes, right? So if you have a belt that's tied in a double knot, so halachically, this Chalkas Yaakov is supposedly going to be worried that since it's a double knot, it's connected, it'd be a halachic connection, and therefore you would not be able to do it. So it's going to be moved up and down, it doesn't make a difference. Okay, that's what it says. So I can't go through this footnote and do justice to these poskim. Obviously, these are very naughty issues. Ha ha. Let's see here. So, Bo'un Kume Reb Lo. So they asked the following question. Mahu mechut misone b'chitam, can you sew your wool-lined shoe with linen thread? Amalaita, he said, begins Reb Zera. Reb Zera Amar Asar. Reb Zera was concerned, although by the strict letter of the law, it's mutter, but we have to be concerned, and therefore we're machmer. So therefore we have to also be machmer. Maida Rabbi Ila, Rabbi Ila is Maida. I guess Ila and Law are the same. Bahan de Yilbash Dardasin de Amar al Gab Dardasin de Chiton. If you're willing woolen shoes over linen shoes, to us, and that's forbidden. De lo shalach iloya lo shalach araya. As long as you're wearing the upper shoe, you can't remove the lower shoe. So, in such a case, that would be awesome. Avodah of Safar Shol Reb Zeira. Ma'o mitan pritin go gulsa. So the father of Safra asked Reb Zeira, what's the law about placing coins in a woolen garment that what one is wearing? And tying that woolen garment closed with a linen string. What's the law about placing coins in a linen handkerchief? And then you're tying it with a woolen thread. So it's just the same kind of question. It's just the opposite. What's the main body of the holder here? Is the change purse made out of wool in second case, or is it made out of linen? In the first case is the wool. First case is where the body is wool and the string is linen. The second case is where the body is linen and the string is wool. Either way. A Malay, so he says, Chacham Rebbe, Rav Huna, does the teacher know that Rav Huna is a great person? Rav Huna Marasar. Rav Huna says it's not allowed. Ravino Marasar, Ravino also says it's not allowed. Shmuel Amar Mutter. Shmuel says it's Mutter. Rav Shem Rav Yas Amar Mutter. So we have a big machlokes whether it's Mutter or whether it is Asar. And that's the way this halacha on Pei Beis ends. Yeah, a couple of halachas that are brought in the bottom. The Arzurua, Hilchos Yom Tov 341, rules that it is forbidden to wear woolen socks on top of linen socks, or vice versa, since you can't remove the bottom one without removing the top one. Ramah Yerodea 300, Sif Dalid, concurs that it's proper to avoid such a situation. Okay, according to this conclusion, it should emerge that it is forbidden to wear a wool sweater on top of a linen shirt. Because a shirt cannot be removed without first removing the sweater. However, there are more rules that it's permitted to wear a wool shirt on top of a linen shirt. That seems to be the halacha l'maisa. So I have to look over there in Shulchan Aruch and see. Go through the sugya. All right, we're going to stop here and we'll continue on with the next daf afterwards.